Chapter 20. Familiar Old Kesh. Brannis walked off the pier and onto solid ground once more. The trip had been smooth the last several days, but he still vowed to stay off the Katamic for a good long while. His stomach and legs had made it an ultimatum, and the rest of him had readily agreed. "So this is Zoran?" he asked Soria. The buildings were packed in close quarters. There were whitewashed brick buildings reminiscent of Acardia, sturdy fitted stone edifices that would have looked at home in Takalia, the ornately carved tent-shaped structures that were common in southern Kesh, and bits and pieces of a dozen smaller lands mixed in as well.
"Well, in Vaedris it would be," Soria said. "But no, this is Buo. Once you get beyond the shoreline, I doubt you'll see any similarity. I only flew over Zoran a bit in the dagger strike, but it was enough to know that it was very different from this place."
"You know Buo well?" Brannis asked. Rakashi laughed.
"You could say that," Soria replied. "We spent years based here. I don't know if our quarry knew that or not, but they picked the wrong city to try to hide from us in. If they so much as pass through, we'll pick up a trail."
"If that's true, then we have to assume they know that. They want us to find them. Or at least to know where they are. Whatever they are hoping to gain, they're looking to gain it in Vaedris. Without our knowing, they have no leverage," Brannis reasoned. Rakashi led as they made their way into the city, leaving Captain Kason and the Poet's Hammer behind. Brannis noticed that there were an unusual number of armed people wandering the streets, and no one seemed to give it two thoughts. When he thought to look for them, he could find no uniformed guards anywhere. "Maybe why everyone seems to take personal protection upon themselves," he thought.
"We're going to see some old acquaintances, to see whether they can tell us where we need to head," said Soria.
Brannis leaned close as they walked. "Are these the sort of acquaintances that will be happy to see us?" he asked softly. Soria chuckled and glanced sidelong at him, a gleam in her eye.
"Yes and no."
"Why have we stopped here?" Stalyard asked. He and Tanner stood in the common room of a cheap tavern in Alohaith, a small mining town along a tradeway that was used more for supplies and goods than for travelers.
"Listen," Tanner replied. "You saved my skull in Lon Mai, so I'll play it even with you. The kid told me where they were going before I lost him to your friend. We're just heading them off, trying to figure out where they'll pass through on their way to the coast."
"So all this time you've had this simple plan and you chose not to share it with me? Perhaps to the detriment of finding the boy at all, should misfortune have found you?" Stalyard asked.
Tanner gave a silent nod, the corner of his mouth curling into a grin.
"Well done. You are perhaps not hopeless."
"Well, I fell for your escape scheme, didn't I?" Tanner returned. "That was really Warlock Rashan coming, not some ruse to make me think he might have been. Listen, I may be pretty ether-dense on the other side, but there was some fighting going on back at the palace after we cut out of there." There was a momentary break in their conversation as a bleak-eyed serving girl, who looked at least 40 years old, delivered their ales. All booze was cheap in Takalia since they produced so much domestically. Alohaith was the sort of place that got the mistakes, liquors that tasted off or that came from weak batches. They were practically drinking for free, though either would gladly have paid for better, had anything been available. Stalyard's eyes followed the server as she left them.
"We are safely away from Lon Mai, and tomorrow we'll be on my ship. I can take you back to Cadris, but I think it may be time that both of us found somewhere away from the rest of this war. There are parties who may not appreciate the roles we have taken."
"Yeah," Tanner agreed. "That's the main reason I'm not sore about you sneaking me out in the middle of what might have been a rescue. Not so sure getting rescued by that demon would have been best for my long-term prospects. If Kyrus or your pirate friend managed to kill off that demon, then we can figure out what to do next."
"I am most glad you agree. This will make arrangements much simpler."
Tanner's eyes wandered about the room as he nursed his ale. They settled on Stalyard's sword.
"You still interested in having a duel?"
"No," Stalyard replied the moment Tanner finished the question. Tanner laughed and took a swig of his ale. His expression soured momentarily before he swallowed. He worked his mouth to get the taste out, then laughed anew. Any man who picks a fight with 5 armed men has no place crossing blades with me.
Aw, and I never even got to see you fight.
Tanner stopped mid-sentence as the door to the common room opened, and another group entered. Stalyard followed his look. They were all foreigners, pale-skinned and fair-haired, not quite light enough to be Keshi, but possibly a Cardian or Herlin.
Trouble, whispered Tanner.
What makes you certain?
Foreigners. This place isn't much for foreigners. And look at the gear they've got. Rope, clubs. I think that's a blowgun the one on the left has, Tanner said.
We are foreigners here as well, you know,
Stalyard said, shrugging.
Yeah, and that don't make me feel any better, considering what we're up to. I think these boys are in the same line of work.
Piracy, Stalyard suggested with a smile.
No, Tanner replied. Kidnappings.
They came on a ship named Falcon's Tree, Soria said. She said it in Keshi, so Brannis did not understand it. Rakashi stood in the back of the little curio shop and translated for him.
I heard of it, the rascal behind the counter replied, his face fixed in a permanent sneer.
He seemed the sort that did more business on the side than in his actual profession. He exuded a greasy lack of grace that seeped into his clothes and the shop he kept.
How bad you want to know about him?
You know me, Zen, Soria said.
Brannis picked up a note of warning in her voice, without needing it translated.
Fine. Just remember I'd done you good before. What they look like, Zen said.
He picked at something in his teeth as he spoke.
Both the Cardian, and you can tell it easy enough by the look of them. The male is about 30, long curly hair, brown eyes, cleft chin. Got all his teeth, Soria said.
Zen stopped picking at his own teeth.
The girl, he asked.
Soria glanced back at Brannis before answering. As she began what he could only assume was her description of Abelay, Rakashi stopped translating. Brannis looked his way and the Tikalish scholar put up his hands in surrender, but did not resume. Brannis leaned around to better see Soria from the front. He watched as she held her hands cupped in front of her chest, well in front of her chest, giving the impression of a rather endowed woman. Brannis felt heat rise in his face. Rakashi grabbed him by the arm and turned him away.
Just let her deal with this her way, Rakashi said.
He held eye contact as long as possible, which just made Brannis more determined to see what Soria was up to. He shrugged loose from Rakashi's grip and twisted back to see her. Soria had her upper lip curled back, baring her teeth. She was holding her hands up to either side of her face, making a little waggling motion with her fingers. He made a move toward her, some offended bit of Kairos within him growing heated at the perceived insult to Abelay, but a tug at his arm held him back.
Just be glad you do not speak Keshi, Rakashi said in his ear.
Brannis was fuming when Soria finally finished bargaining with the shady shopkeeper.
She's just jealous. She wants to see if I am past Abelay, and it seems that maybe Kairos is not. I am a better man than this,
Brannis assured himself. He took deep breaths to will away his anger. By the time they left the shop, he realized that his hands were sore. His fingernails had been digging into his palms without him even realizing. A cloud of dust rose behind two horses as they stampeded down the western road, out of Alohaith. The horses were freshly stolen and well-provisioned, the latter a lucky coincidence. Horse theft was the least of their worries if caught, and the owners certainly were not going to be the ones chasing them down.
This is all your fault, Stalyard shouted.
He rode awkwardly, but a fear-strengthened grip kept him in the saddle.
My fault? You were staring at them, Tanner yelled back. If you knew how to use the corners of your eyes, they never would have come over. But you had to turn and stare at them like some 5-echo puppet show.
Tanner had ridden the length of Kesh and back again more times than he cared to count. He was a fair rider, even if he did not particularly enjoy horses, and was comfortable enough in the saddle to turn and look behind them for pursuit. Stalyard caught sight of him looking back.
Are they still following us?
Yeah, 4 or 5 of them.
Can't tell from this far away whether they have long guns or not.
I hate those things, Tanner shouted.
You like your pistol well enough, Stalyard pointed out.
I see no difference.
My pistol is mine, that's the difference. Those blasted things might be able to reach us here if they get lucky.
Just keep riding. Either we'll lose them or we'll deal with them after nightfall.
You assume we can ride to nighttime without our own horses failing.
You're just a cheery fella, aren't you, pirate?
They rode on, trusting to luck, fate, and the questionable horse-buying habits of hired thugs to get them through tonight.
Soria watched as Brannis stabbed his fork into the mush on his plate for the 10th time or so without taking a bite of it.
Keshi food not to your liking? She asked.
Nothing wrong with the food, Brannis said, not looking up from his plate. Well, maybe could do with a bit less cornmeal in it.
We got a good solid lead. You get two of these magpies to tell the same story without the time to talk to each other about it, and you have yourself something to go on, Soria said.
Rakashi cleared his throat, gave them each a nod, and got up from his empty plate.
Soria watched him head upstairs before turning her attention back to Brannis. You're mad, she said.
Brannis looked up from his plate but kept his head down. He stuffed a forkful of the corn mush into his mouth.
I can tell.
Soria smiled without much feeling.
Why are you even helping with this? Brannis asked. You can't stand her.
Soria wrinkled her nose and frowned.
Why am I?
She had not given the matter much thought.
It's just what I do, I guess. I get a job and do it. Normally it's for money. But this time all I cared about was going with you.
So that's all there is to this for you? Brannis asked. Just a mission. A job that you're doing gratis as a favor to me?
She shrugged.
I guess. I take things as they come. If you had been happy leaving her to her fate and going to find Zell and Takalia, I'd have been right there with you for that, too. Frankly, if you find a way to get away from Rashan and Kadrin, I'd leave them all to their fates, too.
Just like that, Brannis asked.
He cocked his head as he awaited a reply.
Just like that. You're getting caught up in the same trap as Talax. I've read you almost the whole thing. You must have seen the pattern by now.
Yes, when there's no one else, it is your duty to step in and set things right, said Brannis. The warring kingdoms, the dominance of the dragons, the murderous immortals, the mediation with the gods. And if anything, I think that's where the story crosses into pure myth-making. All of it fell to Talax because he was the only one who could handle it.
Talax chose his path, Soria countered. If nothing else, see that difference. Poor Kyrus is dealing with all the troubles heaped on him by a rotting empire and a demonic regent. You are the one who welcomed all that, not him. Now you're chasing after a girl that Kyrus held hands with once or twice and made moon eyes at. I'm sorry if I may have oversalted my descriptions of her, but three informants were able to know her by it.
That thing you did with the wiggling fingers?
Face it, she has peasant teeth.
You can't have helped noticing, Soria said and let out a sigh.
She is a peasant. That's not her fault.
She had no magic to pretty them up like you have, Brannis said. How would yours look if you did nothing to them?
Nothing like that, I promise you, Soria replied,
crossing her arms and leaning back.
And the other thing? I can't help but notice that Juliana is a bit fuller in that regard, Brannis said.
A smile slipped out of the edges of his mouth as the familiar glimmer returned to his eyes.
I'm a coin blade, not a dairy farmer. I was just trying to give a description those weasels would understand.
Your cheeks flush the prettiest pink when you get angry, Brannis said.
The next morning, Soria, Brannis, and Rakashi took fresh horses and rode for the city of Skazgrin. It was 5 days until summer.